It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. Now we are moving on to our weekly political review. In a few minutes, we'll hear what's happening in the final days of the spring legislative session of the Illinois General Assembly. But we begin in our nation's capital, and Illinois Public Media's Washington correspondent Linda Kenyon joins us now. Linda, happy Friday. Thanks for being here.
Happy Friday, but it's always a roller coaster here. So, you know, one day's pretty much like the next.
Yeah, I should probably revise that script. I don't know that any of these Fridays we have any happy days. All right. You and I have talked a lot about tariffs and the Trump administration, you know, that the Trump administration is put on imports. In the last day and a half, courts have started to weigh in. A couple of them have ruled against many of the tariffs, including one case brought by an Illinois company that makes educational toys. But as we go to air, these tariffs are still in effect. What is going on?
Yeah, what indeed? Well, there were two federal courts this week that said that the trade tariffs that the president was trying to impose under the an emergency law were not lawful and could not be done under the declaration of a state of emergency. The president has said that the tariff situation is an economic emergency. So we've had an appeals court overturn one of those, not exactly overturn, but basically put a stay on the decision. There's been a lot of back and forth about who has the power to do what, with the courts saying that President Trump is guilty of exceeding his authority, and the Trump administration saying the courts are guilty of judicial overreach. Yesterday, we had White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt addressing that situation, saying that basically these unelected judges are inserting themselves into a process and they have no right to do so, and that they are the ones who are guilty of judicial overreach, and then asked what the administration is going to do about it. And she said they're going to turn to the courts. So that is a process that the Trump administration had hoped to avoid because it's a lengthy process. And that's one of the reasons why the president in the first place invoked this emergency power so that he could expedite the imposition of trade tariffs. Now, keep in mind, this is all happening while the president is trying to negotiate trade tariffs with one of the biggest trade partners, and that would be China. So China is watching all of this and just kind of sitting back and wondering how aggressive it needs to be while the president's court system is constantly challenging and the president is then counter-challenging.
Amazing. And I understand that some of these judges were even appointed by Trump who were ruling against him on the trade stuff. So
that's right.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a story we're going to have to talk a lot more about in the weeks ahead, as you know, how the administration responds to what as the courts are really being the only check on what the administration is doing, it seems, in government, at
right,
least.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about another area of law that has a lot of interest here in Illinois, and that is the administration targeting student visas over the past few months. There have been some revoked without explanation, without warning. Some of those have been reinstated. Harvard's ability to enroll international students had a clamp put on it, but that was blocked in court. What is the latest this week?
Well, the latest is that Harvard is fighting back. The federal judge had extended the block on the Trump administration's effort to bar Harvard from enrolling foreign students. Harvard decided to sue the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem in particular, the Secretary of Homeland Security, who accused Harvard of engaging in what she called pro-terrorist conduct and encouraging and allowing anti-Semitic and anti-American violence, and of coordinating with the Chinese Communist Party. Now, all of this, of course, Harvard denies. This all stemming from on-campus protests against the war in Gaza. And a lot of students who protested, now their visas are in danger, et cetera, barring Harvard from having any foreign student enrollment has created quite a uproar, not only at Harvard, keep in mind, but at colleges and universities around the country. The ending of research grants at Harvard, cutting off of federal funding. this has created quite a back and forth and challenges and counter challenges. But Harvard is fighting back, and Harvard knows it's being used perhaps as an example, perhaps a chilling effect against other universities. And the president yeah. saying it's all because of anti-Semitism, but you know, keep in mind that this is also a free speech issue.
Yeah,
people
and
have been
some other evidence
years.
That maybe anti-Semitism is not quite as much of a concern in other areas when it goes mm-hmm. against people who are, you know, not aligned with them. Let me ask, though, there is one other thing aspect to the story, and that is Marco Rubio saying that Chinese international students could have their visas revoked. And this is, I mean, a huge concern. University of Illinois, for example, about half, I think this might be a few years old now, but at least half of the foreign students at the U of I are from China, more than 6,000 students. That's a lot of tuition money. The university even once took out an insurance policy against a loss of income relating to trade wars or other things that is no longer in effect here. But talk about that.
Well, the Trump administration has promised to, and this is the term that Marco Rubio used, aggressively revoke visas for Chinese students. Now, this I have to put in context of the fact that the president is trying to negotiate trade deals with China. So this may not be an isolated situation. It could be all interweaved. However, this again is having a chilling effect, and it's creating a lot of concern. You know, some of the universities are saying that their graduates are afraid to attend their own graduation ceremonies because they might get swept up by immigration and customs enforcement, that scholars are having to end their research in the middle of their experiments because the funding has been cut off and because the president seems to be taking a special interest in Chinese students in particular. I mean, this is something that, again, as you and I have spoken at the beginning of our interview today, is a roller coaster ride. And where it stops, we do not know. But it certainly is very unsettling, certainly if you're a student these days at colleges and universities in the United States.
And it's interesting because, and we need to wrap here, but, you know, there is sort of a good faith people I've heard from even Democrats who say, look, there are concerns about, you know, the Chinese Communist Party having people who maybe are doing spying on intellectual property and scientific advancements and things like that through the university visas. But given how much fear the administration is trying to impose, one has a hard time reconciling that that's really what this is about. So, all right, mm-hmm. Linda Kenyon, Washington correspondent for Illinois Public Media, thank you so much for being with us. We will continue with state politics after a short break. This is the 21st Show. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. This weekend, the Illinois General Assembly is expected to finish its spring legislative session. In this last stretch, the hours are long. Legislators are still working late into the evening, sometime the early morning, as they are voting on bills. And that is usually especially the case on the last night of session, when the House and Senate pass the state budget for the next fiscal year. After a lot of deliberation, arguing in some cases, both in public and behind the scenes. This year, even after the budget is passed, though, and legislators go back to their districts, the ongoing uncertainty over the federal budget means everyone might have to come back to Springfield to make adjustments before long. Here to talk about that and more in our Friday political review is Brendan Moore, the Illinois government and politics reporter for Lee Enterprises newspapers, which include the Herald and Review, in Decatur, the Pantograph in Bloomington Normal, and the Post-Dispatch in St. Louis. Brendan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Brian. Happy penultimate day, allegedly.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah, but all right, we have talked a lot on the program about the choices lawmakers are up against this year as state revenues have flattened out. The most, you know, basic choice is, you know, always, you know, are there going to be new ways for the state to bring in money? You know, raising taxes is typically that what that means, or cutting programs, cutting spending. What sense do you have about how legislators are going?
Yeah, Brian, this year, as you kind of outlined, has been probably the most difficult budget year under Governor Pritzker's tenure. Revenues were already slowing down from the sugar high they had post-COVID. And then you have all this uncertainty coming from the federal government. That means, whatever they pass, they may have to come back and adjust depending on, what ends up being in President Trump's big, beautiful bill. So a lot of the conversations have centered around new revenue options to help fill a gap that has grown to, I mean, estimates differ depending on who you ask, but about $1 billion is this gap they have to fill. There could be some spending cuts, but legislators have would prefer not to go that route. But if you can't find cuts, you got to find new revenue somewhere. And they're considering a number of options. A lot's been some have included maybe a tax on digital advertising, so that would target like Facebook or Twitter. Maybe some sin taxes. Increasing the top rate on sports betting companies, or maybe adding, video gaming terminals to Chicago. Whatever it is, it's going to be kind of a hodgepodge. Because earlier this week, Governor Pritzker basically put the kibosh on any idea that there's going to be broad-based tax increases. So that would be sales tax, individual income tax, corporate income tax. Those are not on the table. And I highly doubt they would get a lot of support in the legislature, even if the governor said, didn't say that. But with that option off the table, you are going to basically just have to cobble together a bunch of different revenue sources. So it's not going to be one big thing, but I think in the coming hours, as details of this budget come out, we're going to see several revenue enhancements, or I guess I should put it another way, tax hikes that could help fill this hole.
Trying to think of the metaphor. If the one in Washington, Trump has called the big beautiful bill, what are we going to call this budget bill in Springfield? Maybe we'll leave that for other people to weigh in on. One of the other big focuses, foci, how do I say that, in the final weeks of the session has been the so-called fiscal cliff for the transit agencies in not just Chicago itself, but really in the entire north east part of the state. We are, of course, on our program, as you are for a lot of your papers, focused on downstate Illinois. But why is this a Springfield story, this mass transit fiscal cliff?
Well, it's a Springfield story because, simply put, if MetroPace and CTA can't find an additional $770 million to fill their budget next year, there are going to be severe cuts to service. I mean, up to 40% cuts to service. So that can mean stations closing. It could mean less trains running, less buses. Routes getting canceled, and for a lot of working folks that rely on transit to get to work, to the grocery store, to just for everyday life, it's a big deal. It's a Springfield story because the revenue has to come from somewhere, and a lot of the ideas being proposed would have to get legislative approval. However, it's become a bigger discussion because legislators have made clear that there is no new revenue without significant reforms to how these agencies function. You have, I mean, this overarching regional transit authority, but then under you have CTA, MetroPace, that all have their own boards and they all kind of do their own thing. They don't really talk to each other necessarily. There's a lot of silos that get put up. So legislation has been filed that would not get rid of these individual agencies, but it would increase, allegedly, the idea would be to increase collaboration. It would allow A new the Northern Illinois Transit Authority, which would be basically become the new RTA, would be able to set fares, and there would be a unified fare system between all the systems, and other accountability mechanisms to ensure that, if they get more money, that they're going to spend it wisely. Whether it gets done in the next, 36 to 48 hours, is uncertain, because there's significant opposition from organized labor, due to some of the funding mechanisms that were included in the bill, and also from a lot of suburban local leaders concerned with some of their revenue sources maybe being diverted to transit away from some of their other things that they need to fund in their budget. So that is far from certain whether it's going to get across the finish line this week, but there's a general belief that something has to be done in the next few months, because if not, there are going to be service cuts and layoffs, and that's something that they're certainly trying to avoid.
Probably the last thing I want to ask you about is energy, which is another big topic in these last days of session. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, this topic, I mean, I feel like we talk about it every session now, as Illinois tries to meet its goal of getting to carbon free, 100% carbon free energy by 2050. It's a very ambitious goal, and as we kind of the state works its way there, there are concerns about the reliability of the grid, and there are concerns about the increasing costs to ratepayers. And a big issue that's come up recently is the amount of energy that data centers are consuming. It's become a booming business. It's needed for, a lot of this artificial intelligence stuff, quantum computing, all these industries of the future. And so, they're needed for economic development, but they also use a lot of energy. And that was something that really wasn't accounted for when the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act passed in 2022, 2021. So they are considering a package that is getting less and less ambitious by the day. There was a provision in there that would have required data centers to supply their own energy, but that was met with significant opposition from business and labor groups. So that is likely to be out of the bill. But there could be some components that address battery storage, which would allow for increasing that capacity so that they can store the energy generated by wind and solar power during non-peak times, and also would likely include the lifting of the moratorium on large-scale nuclear development. As you know, nuclear is carbon-free energy; it's baseload power. And for a place like, say, Clinton, for instance, which has one nuclear reactor, it could open the door for maybe a second reactor, which would really help with the reliability on the grid in downstate Illinois. So I would expect something to pass on that. Far from certain, obviously. I mean, I try not to make any guarantees final days of Springfield whether something's going to pass or not, because things can blow up pretty quick. But I would expect, even if it's not as ambitious as was originally hoped for, there will be some type of energy package that could cross the finish line and get done before they leave town.
Yeah, as one of the former spokespeople for one of the legislative leaders used to like to say, I don't do predictions. So we'll see what happens soon enough. Brendan Moore with Illinois' Lee Enterprises Newspapers. Thank you for sharing your reporting with us.
Always a pleasure, Brian.
Hope it's not too late a night for you.
Yeah, you and me both.